Reason being is not that I don't trust God, I don't trust those people over there. I don't trust the airlines anymore. I'd hate to be stuck in Germany and try to order something to eat over there while I've been waiting for 2 days on the plane to take off and stuff like that. And you know how it is. Psalm 20, look at verse 5. The Bible says, "We rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." That verse is rich in content. If you look at the first clause there, "We will rejoice in thy salvation," not mine, his. When I tried to save me, it winds up in a mess, but when God saved me, it wound up in salvation. And he says, it says, "And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners in the name of our God." Listen, when these people pledge these flags, they say unto God or under God or different things like that. There's a lot of nations around the world, their flag and their pledge does not say that. It does not say unto God. God's not included in their plans. And if you go look at those countries, you'll believe the Bible, because all nations that turn against God shall be turned into hell. We're turning into it. Somebody said it's bad. Now, it ain't got bad yet. So how do you know? Because they wasn't police and army out there blocking us to get into this place this morning. That's a good sign it's getting bad. When you got to die for your faith rather than your faith dying for you, there's a problem. And he says about setting up the name of our God in our banners, it says, "The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." He's talking about your prayer requests, that God, everything you petition for, he'll do. And the key to having all your prayers answered is praying for the will of God. You may not know the will of God, but he does. The Holy Ghost gets down and prays with you, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. He becomes our prayer partner. And if I'll take the time to pray, he'll take the time to pray through. Every time he does that. I may not know the will of God, but he does. But I want to focus on this verse about setting up our banners in the name of our God. And I want to preach today on why we salute these two flags right here. They're both rich in content of where they come from, and I want to examine them in the light of the Bible. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you. We thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. It's an honor and a privilege to stand before your people today, Lord God, looking at the Word of God and seeing what the Bible actually says over what people say it means. Lord, will you mean what you say? And we pray, God, that you'll help us according to Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And we pray, God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we ask all this believing in Jesus' name. Amen. As you probably have well figured out, we've got two flags here, so we're going to cover both of them. I've seen churches, and I was going to preach something like this in a church one time, and I walked in, there was eight flags down this wall and eight flags down this wall, and I thought, boy, if I leave somebody's flag out, because there was missionaries there from different countries, what they had all the flags out for, and I never intentionally go after something like that, not knowing about those people where they're from, but I know this, is we're not in all them other countries, we're here. And no matter what people think of our country, this is still the best country in the world, and I'll prove it to you. 80,000 people today are probably headed towards that open border. Not because this is the worst place to be. Because it's the best. Now here's a catch. We can't keep doing that before long. Politicians said this week, and you go, I don't know if you heard this or not, I saw it. I had to go look for the video. I didn't believe the guy said it. He said, with our borders open the way they are, that it will not be sustainable very long, indicating we'd collapse financially if we keep doing that. And if I were to ask you who said that, you'd say Donald Trump, you'd say Mike Pence, you'd say the governor of South Carolina, Henry McMaster. How about this? Barack Obama said that. Well, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, brother. I mean, that's the way it works out, right? I mean, they write every once in a while, but look at this. If we look at these flags, we're going to look first at parts of the American flag. And the design of the American flag, the very first one that was ever on this country, had the stripes there, and the blue part, instead of having blue background and stars, was the British flag imposed in that thing. And then, of course, we went for our independence. And why do we go for our independence? Listen to this. Double taxation is what that war was started over. When you get in that car, you're reminded of this. You pay a tax to dispose of your tires when you're done with them. You pay a tax on your battery core. It's called a charge, but it's a tax to dispose of that battery. You pay tax at the gas station to pump gas into your car per gallon. You pay tax on the vehicle how many times? As long as you got the car, you're paying it every year.
Yep.
Dealers say, well, the car's $14,000 plus tax and tags.
Yep.
That always comes up. And then finally, we're hearing that they may try to charge us per mile. Yeah, how about that? No wonder they can't get that $3.5 trillion spending bill passed, because even the Democrats looked at them and said, do what?
Yeah.
Just because they're a Democrat don't mean they're stupid. But a lot of them people are here lately.
Yeah.
And the ones that's most corrupt have been there the longest, by the way.
Yeah.
But I know this, that's more than double taxation. I don't know how to even pronounce the word for taxing you five times over for one thing. But they're taxing you for one thing five times. Like I said, we started wars for less. But the design of this flag, those stars have always represented the states. When the country was first formed and founded, there was a six-point star for each state, and there was 13 of them, matching with 13 stripes on the flag. And then, of course, over the years, it changed as we added states. The flag that we now have was made final, I believe, in 61 or 62 or something like that, when Alaska, Hawaii, whichever the last one was added. That was before I was born, so I'm not really sure. I don't remember the press conference on that one. But I did look up this fact. That's the longest standing flag we've had in this country. It's been over 60 years that we've had that flag. Over 60 years. It's incredible. You and I have never known another flag. And as we look at that, the stripes represent the original number of states. It's always going to be, you've got seven red and six white, because there was 13 colonies. And, of course, that they became the first states in the United States of America. But there's also, when we display this flag, there's a peculiarity to how we're supposed to do this. If you walk in most churches, this flag is in the back corner of the choir up here, and like a Christian flag or South Carolina flag or something else over here. And according to the law concerning that flag, when we started doing this, the American flag is to take prominence and be over the speaker's right shoulder when the flags are on something above the platform or on the platform. If we move these flags just this platform, that one has to go over here. And that's why they're changed. But when the flags are displayed on a platform lower than the speaker, then they put them on opposite sides. We're backwards, but we're not as backwards as you think. That's the law. Has been since 19 whatever, I guess. I looked it up in an encyclopedia before the internet. Remember those days you had a volume of 27 books on the shelf that you bought from a traveling salesman?
Yep.
Yeah, Britannica, that's the name of them. And nowadays you thumb through your phone and find it, seems like. But occasionally they'll change that thing and change it back every 2 years and stuff, but the law states it like that. But there is it's always to be the main flag in any ceremony. Always. And what I find terribly wrong with our country now is people are trying to not honor that flag.
Yeah.
I don't believe in burning any flag.
Amen.
Okay? But if we're going to burn this one, we just need to wrap a bunch of liberals up in it and set it on fire. Amen and amen. I don't want to do that, but it's just fun to say that. But I don't believe in burning that flag or anything like that. That flag is supposed to take the prominence in any ceremony. When they have pledges to the flags, this one always goes first. I've been in these churches sometimes, some rednecks say, well, I'm a Christian. We're going to pledge a Christian flag first. That's against the law. And you know, this Bible says not to go against the law, as long as you don't go against the Bible. Set up our banners in the name of our God. I pledge allegiance to the what? Look on your bulletin there. We'll put them on the back because some folks don't have these memorized. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the banner. There's a reason why it's designed that way. It says of the United States of America. And here's the part people miss. And to the republic for which it stands. Now, I'm going to tell you something political. It's my opinion. You have a different opinion than me, and we still get along. I don't hate you. Listen, if you disagree with me, I don't hate you. I don't know where these Karens are coming up with this stuff, talking about, well, that you just offend me. You get offended way too much. You need to get back to the Bible. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Right.
That's Psalm 119, verse 165. But this thing about a republic, we live in a republic.
Yeah.
We don't live in, listen, we don't live in a democracy, we live in a republic. There's a bunch of people out there that say, well, I vote Democrat because I'm for democracy. Well, guess what? They're not for democracy. They never have been. Matter of fact, we're going to look back in history and just look at some of those awfulest things in history. It come out of the Democratic Party.
Right.
Can I tell you this? To control the population, the Democratic Party started the Ku Klux Klan.
Yep.
Tell me how Trump's a racist and you a racist and all that systematic racism and critical race theory. Tell me all that again. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. Here's how you know that. If you wouldn't have slept through class in high school... I feel all kind of tension, but I'm good with it. I got the sword that's going to cut right through him. Listen, if you went to sleep in class, this is what you learn. A republic has people you vote for that go to the Capitol where you live and vote how you want them to vote. If we were a true democracy, they wouldn't be voting on a $3.5 trillion bill full of fluff and stuff and making the cows not pass gas.
Right.
Ain't that the dumbest thing you ever heard?
Yep.
They say that's killing the environment. Well, it's been killing it for 6,000 years.
Yep.
If you'd quit being a vegetarian and cut them things up, you wouldn't have had to worry about all that.
Right. Yep.
But in all this, if we had a true democracy, they wouldn't be voting on a $3.5 trillion bill. We would be.
Right.
That's the difference in the two of them. Now, when you get to Republicans and Democrats, I think they're both corrupt. I think both parties are corrupt. I think they'll disband both of them, and you got to just figure out who you vote for. And they can't get up and party together like they do. Tulsi Gabbard, who's a Democrat that ran for presidential nominee, excuse me, for the Democratic Party in 2019 and 20, she said that when she got to Congress, she said there would be people coming to her office to tell her, you have to vote with us because you're a Democrat. Now, how about that? That's after she's sworn in, voted in, all that. You have to vote with us because you're a Democrat. Ain't that something? But don't worry, I'm sure if we went and asked Lindsey Graham how he votes, he'll say how the president at the time says.
Yep.
We got a bunch of liberal flip-floppers down here, too.
Yep.
And I won't even get started on AOC other than say, I can't believe New York would vote that thing in twice.
Yep.
If she's representing them, boy, they're in bad shape. I'd hate to think there's people worse than her that voted her in. Unless there's rigged elections, you don't think there would be that, do you? Governor of North Carolina, are you listening? But watch this. We see there about the design of that flag. It's to be pledged first and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. That's it. That's what they, listen, they don't want to take the flag away. They don't take the pledge away. Just two words out of it is all they want. By the way, did you know we had to add those in the first pledge? So what happened? Somebody forgot God. They want you want this country to be blessed? Listen, we got to stay under Him. It says we're indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Now here's the doctrines of this flag right there in this pledge. It says a standing nation. The standing nation is not because we have an army, it's because its citizens are armed. The largest army that's not officially wearing the same uniform as each, that has the most weaponry in the world, is not China, it's not Russia, it's not anybody else, it's the citizens of the United States.
Amen.
Now you know why they want to get your guns.
Yep.
By the way, it's probably time for another school shooting somewhere, so they say, we need to get rid of guns. Can I let you in on a secret? What's the first school shooting you remember? Colorado. You know that dude broke 14 laws walking in the door with a gun? Laws don't make people obey.
Yeah.
And then you got these dummies saying, defund the police. How gone are you? You get rid of them, the army becomes the police.
Yeah.
Why do you think we're pulling all these troops back over here? They're planning on doing that. They won't be the first nation to do it. There's a missionary here, be with us later this month from the Ukraine, Brother Stephen. He told me over there, you can't drive a mile without having run to a military checkpoint in the city. So you go to a place like New York City where you got several million people, every mile you drive, you gotta go through the checkpoint. So what are they doing? They're communists. They're controlling the people. Controlling movement. You just can't go where you want to. Now listen to this. I was in Washington, D.C. in 2003, I think it was. I was up there, I was preaching near there, and I went to the Capitol up there, and they had men up there standing in front of the Capitol building with machine guns and grenades on their belts and all this, but they weren't wearing green uniforms or tan or camouflage. They were wearing blue. And I walked up to one of them guys. I said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" He said, "You can." I said, "What are you?" He said, "I'm a D.C. policeman." "A city cop?" "Yes, sir." How bad is crime if the cops have to carry grenades? Defund the police now? I notice that's the only place they ain't hollering at. Because those D.C. police are also the congressman's security guards when they're off duty. I bet they don't go without guns and they're guarding them. But they want your guns. Indivisible, under God, listen to this, as it stands, one nation under God, they want to take God out of our nation, but they forget if they take him out, he will not help you.
Right.
He may help his people, but he won't help us as a nation. Two things we got going for us. We believe in God, and we help that Jew over there in Israel. Another thing here says indivisible. Boy, that's a statement, ain't it? This country is divided, and we can't seem to figure out why. I'm going to tell you a secret, and you don't tell nobody, because if everybody knows this, they'll figure it out, and the world will be better, okay? This nation is divided because what's on your TV set at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock every evening, and on that little CNN.com, what you got on cable with them, all these people are trying to divide America. But wait a minute, don't think I'm talking about Trump. I'm talking about since the 1960s they've been that way. What do you think caused the race riots then? The newspapers and the TVs. How about that? Listen to this. It's crazy, but they're trying to overthrow your nation. There's a reason why. It's not because of that flag and what it represents. It's because of that God and that pledge right there. They want him gone. And it tells us with liberty and justice for all. Now you know why the exit door ain't being flung up and people walk out. This is the only country that you can be whatever you want to be. When I was in high school, when y'all was in high school, did you have a career counselor come to you at some point in time and try to talk to you about a career? A guidance counselor say, here's what you're best suited for. You took this test and all this. And listen, they try to say that some of us is just fit enough to be on the back of a trash truck. I don't know if that's your goal in life. You'll be one of them fine. It's America. You can do that. And when I found out what they paid to do that and all the benefits you got with it, they got the same benefits she has because she's a teacher. They got all your same benefits. Can you believe that? They don't get to go to Charleston and stuff. They get to get the same benefits, same hospital stuff. By the way, in case you don't know, I've told her this already. I told Miss Willa down here. There's something about Carolina and Georgia, the teachers, they have to make a mecca trip to Charleston. And I've never understood that, but everyone I've ever met goes to Charleston. And I think it was my third grade teacher, Miss Lawson, said she's going to Charleston. And then I heard Miss Hughes say it. And then I heard Mr. Smith say it. And it got to be a pattern, so I kept asking them every year. And for 12 years of high school, they've all went. I've been one time. I had to go down to a hospital for a thing. I don't know why that, is it just something inside you draws you there, or you just plan to go as a vacation? Which one? Tell the truth. Vacation. Okay. Now I know. It's just a vacation. Okay? Now here, I'm being funny, but here's the thing. When we get to looking at this country, you can be whatever you want to be. Listen, some people grow up with aspirations of being a policeman, some a fireman. Some want to be musicians. They learn an instrument, become musicians. Some people want to be wrestlers. They learn how to wrestle. They go in wrestling. Some people want to be football players. They're football players. This is the only place you can pick that out. If you lived in Russia, you know what would happen to you in high school? They'd tell you where you're going to college and what you're fixing to be, according to what they need. Oh, and here's the funny part. The trash truck guy in Russia makes the same thing as the doctor makes down at the emergency room. All things equal. We don't think there should be a middle class. We think everybody should be paid equal. That's what you'd get. And here's the funny part. The guy on the back of the trash truck may be smarter than the guy that's the doctor, but they told him to go there and they told him to go there. Still want that appendix took out? Comrade? Ain't that something? But we have another flag here that sits with us, and I'm going to take some time with this and just show you this. This is the Baptist flag. As we look at the parts of the Baptist flag, you'll never believe this. It was invented by a Baptist preacher. How about that? One of his members will be with us tonight, Brother Rick Jeremy. The Baptist flag originated in the heart and mind of Dr. Don Green. He's the pastor for years of Parker Mole Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan. Desiring a flag in which to identify, yet reluctant to embrace the Christian flag because of its adoption by a broad scope of religious groups, which have blurred its distinctiveness. And by the Christian flag, we're talking about the one that's got the red cross on the blue background with the white in it. It has three pledges, or four, I believe now. One is a conservative pledge, one is a liberal pledge, and the other is a secular humanist pledge. Ain't that something? But he said Dr. Green set out to design a flag that would be attractive in appearance and distinct in its message. After sketching a variety of designs, he rejected them as well as insufficient to express his thoughts, Dr. Green settled on the theme, the tie that binds. If you look at this flag and it's unfurled and you see what this thing is, some of you probably never really seen this thing laid out like this. But you got a tie in the middle of that. That's what that is right there. The tie that binds. What's the tie that binds? Here's Baptist. By the way, I don't trust churches that don't tell you what they are. Oh, we're Christian. And then in the little small writing, a Presbyterian church or a Southern Baptist church. Won't you tell what you are? Somebody told me, he said, well, the way Baptists have hurt people, it ain't just Baptists doing it. They're all doing it. You got Underwood Church, Oakley Church, whatever, in the little small letters where you can't read it while you're driving by, or sometimes they don't put it on the sign at all.
Yep.
And we got them here in Gaffney, at Encounter. What are you?
Yep.
So when you say Baptist, I kind of know what you are. Methodist, I know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just say, oh, we're just Christians, we're born-again believers. No, what are you really? Tell us what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't teach doctrine here, you just taught one. But look at this, Baptist, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. So that's the design of that flag, is a tie, that tie that binds, and those three things is what binds Baptists together. Always has. Before there was Baptists overseas in Europe, when Bible-believing Christians were being put to death, they referred to us as Anabaptists. That means rebaptizers. The Presbyterian Church, the Church of England, all them, the Catholic Church was baptizing infants. But when folks got saved, we would baptize them scripturally, what the Bible says. So therefore, we were rebaptizers. When they come to America, they drop the Anna. We're just Baptists. Probably the first Baptist started in America was up there in was it New Hampshire, up in that little New England states up there. And then they come down through this way, start a church, Sandy Springs in North Carolina, Sandy Springs Baptist Church. And as they would get 200 or 300 people, 100 of them would leave and go start a church somewhere down near Charleston, some in Greenville, some over in Greensboro, Raleigh, different places. And that church never really got over 100 people. Small church, by today's standards. But they were branching out and putting churches everywhere in the South. And if you're a Baptist church in the South, more than likely you come through that lineage of that church, that one church up there in North Carolina. Isn't that interesting? And now let me say this before I get any further. We're not Baptist briders here. We don't believe only Baptists are going to heaven. I know some crazies that believe that.
Yeah.
And I asked them, I said, what's heaven going to be like then? They said, well, the Baptists will be here and all the rest of them on the outer thing. I said, that's exactly what that Jehovah's Witness told me, and I run him out of my house. 144,000. My grandpa told me, he said, when he was growing up, he heard about that bunch. He said, 144,000. He said, my foot. He said, listen. He said, I knew when they got over 144,000 members, something was going to change.
Yep.
By the way, they predicted Jesus to come twice and missed it both times.
Yep.
You know what we call that? That's a cult with false prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
How about they also, how about one group of cults sold everything they had, dressed in white sheets, and got up on top of the house, and Jesus did not come. Boy, can you imagine having to go, I'll be needing that back and that back and that back. But we look at the display of this flag. Its pledge says this on your bulletin there. I pledge allegiance to the Baptist flag and to the faith once delivered unto the saints. That's talking about the book of Jude, I believe verse 4, about that common faith. I will ever remain faithful to the tie that binds us together, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope of our Lord soon coming. As we look at those things there about the doctrines of the flag, the Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8, and Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. We have, as Baptists, the book is the first part of that thing. We have one written final authority. Just one. Listen, this Bible is not interpreted by me. It's interpreted by itself. The bylaws do not tell this church what to do. The Bible tells this church what to do. It's the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. All sound doctrine is in the Bible according to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. If they speak not according to this truth, there's no light in them. All doctrine is to be tested by the Bible. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. How would you and I know which one's which? They don't speak according to this word. The late Dr. D. James Kennedy said this. I'll never forget this. I saw the video myself. He said, I was in a person's house trying to win into Christ, and I was showing them in the Bible how to be saved, and the lady said this to him, Put away your Bible so I can tell you what I believe. We can't put away the Bible. We got to see what the Bible says. It's not what I believe. It's what the Bible says. Listen, there's no dual authority in the church where it's me and the Bible and we tell you what to do. No, it's just the Bible. I just holler at you three times a week.
That's right.
That's my job. Right?
Amen.
Most people think that, so I just go with it. I had a used car salesman, and all people tell me, I don't like Baptists. I said, why don't you like Baptists? He said, well, you just holler at people. Browbeat them. I said, and? Just played right along with and? Come to find out he was a Jew. That's what he didn't like about us. Say, man, listen. I'm not here to compromise for you and make it out to be like it. Everything's okay, because that's not the truth. I'm here to tell you Jesus saves, and he tells us exactly how in this book. The book, the blood. Jeez. Two things about the blood. The blood is still sufficient.
Amen.
And when I say the blood, I'm not talking about bulls, goats, doves, lambs, whatever. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ is still sufficient.
Right.
The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That blood is still sufficient to save, and it's sufficient to forgive any manner of sin. The only person that stops that's us. We may not forgive, but God does. And when somebody gets saved, and they get saved by the blood, it's still sufficient to save. And secondly, we can say this, the blood is our security, because wherever the blood's been applied, we're okay. And by the way, it's been applied in heaven, because that's our next destination. A person that gets saved, you don't have to stop between here and somewhere else to get to heaven. When you die, you go to heaven, because where the blood's been applied is where you can go. The other doctrine about this thing is the blessed hope. If you'll take your Bible and look over at Titus chapter 2, the blessed hope. It's a thing with people. They get all in a mess about this stuff because they don't have no hope. These people are trying to convince you that, the church has got to go through part of the tribulation because, they've been bad, and as a church, we've not done right, so we got to go through part of it. No, we don't. Church has been under persecution for 2,000 years. Listen, the first century of the Christian church went like this. Caesar killed your forefathers and put them on spikes and set them on fire to have lamps headed towards the Roman Colosseum. Does that sound like you've had it easy? From 200 A.D. to about 400 A.D., the Roman army was losing its power, and the general said he saw a red cross in the sky, and it said, in this symbol, conquer, and they've been trying to have the Inquisitions ever since around the world. And then, listen, there's a period from 500 A.D. to 1500 A.D., which is called the what ages? And what were they doing then? Killing people who said they believed God and believed the Bible and wouldn't surrender to Caesar. Who later became the first pope, by the way. And when they done all that, they're sitting there saying this, well, the church has got to go through a tribulation. Wrong. We've been in tribulation for 2,000 years. The great tribulation starts after the rapture of the church. And here's where it starts. Look at verse 13. It says, look, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. There's the word. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That blessed hope, it says, watch this, and the glorious appearing. In between the blessed hope and the glorious appearing is 7 years, which God's going to turn his attention back to the Jew, according to Jeremiah chapter 30. That's called the time of Jacob's trouble. God's going to deal with that Jew once again. Meanwhile, he raptures the church out, blessed hope, 7 years of great tribulation, then he comes back with his saints and the great appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So do you believe that? I believe that. I believe it's going to happen. I'm not going to say it's going to happen today, but boy, wouldn't that be a good thing to do? You plan on having pizza after church, you can get the marriage supper of the Lamb. That'd be a great trade-off right there. So what you going to need is the marriage supper of the Lamb? Everything. Probably two of everything, to be honest with you. And whatever I can't have now because of diabetes, I'm going to have plenty of it there. Probably going to jump right in the swimming pool filled with Reese's cups and eat it for about 1,000 years. Something along them lines. You know how it is. But as we talk about the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, we talk about the pre-tribulation rapture mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 down to verse 18, that talks about the we're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet him in the air forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 58. We're going to go before the tribulation starts. And the way we know that, Revelation chapter 2 talks about churches. Revelation chapter 3 talks about churches. And then it stops right there. Revelation chapter 4, a voice as it were of a trumpet called to me saying, come up hither. And then from there all the way down to chapter 19, the church is not mentioned. Then Jesus shows back up with the church. How about that? And all the Old Testament saints. All in a day. He's going to come back and he's going to take the Holy Land and make it holy again. And the first thing he's going to do, there's going to be armies surrounding Israel on all four sides. And he's coming through in the middle to take care of all of them at one time. So we have to fight. No, we're going to be the stands. The ticket's already paid for. And here's the good thing. We've already been told how the battle's going to go. He's going to slay them with the word of his mouth. The very thing they hate, he's going to kill them with it. Notice this. We got the rapture of the church and the return of Christ about the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we salute that flag and pledge that flag, because it honors our God. It honors our God. And the very things that we live and we die for are surrounded by that. Both these flags have red and white in them. Red for the blood of Jesus Christ, white for the purity and the robe of righteousness in Isaiah 61 that God gives to his saints. I read about this thing here, about the stars on the flag, and then representing our states, and I thought about something a little bit different. Romans chapter 8 tells us to be conformed to the image of his son. He's called the day star. We're supposed to be like him. That thing also reminds me of the Abrahamic covenant, which is still in effect right now. The only country in the world that displays stars like that is good to the Jew. Told them he is the stars in heaven. You and I, listen, we stand for something. We stand for the book, the blood, the blessed hope. We stand for a nation that's free and has freedom and lets you be anything you want to be in this nation. And we stand for these things. All under our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.